for America.
The federal agents informed the crowd that if they kept advancing, they would open fire on the crowd.
It was scary to think that shots could be fired. It definitely was scary. Everyone was thinking, could this be another Ruby Ridge? Could this be another Waco?
Fighting for Idaho.
We're starting to realize that we have a government with unlimited power.
The BLM come to decimate us and to reduce us to absolute despotism.
Fighting for you.
More than Kevin, I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you for real journalism.
Kevin, I just wanted to thank you for going to Nevada and...
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
You're the only talk show that I really listen to.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Ada County Commissioner Rick Iswire with us here at 580 KIDO. Good to have you with us, sir.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
You know, we're talking about this primary and we're hearing the political ads and such. What's the county's role in the primary election coming up, sir?
Well, we play a huge role, obviously, because we're in charge of the elections. The clerk's office, Phil McCrane and Chris Rich, oversee the elections. And obviously, we manage that on behalf of the voters in Ada County. And early voting started on May 16th, and you can get absentee ballots through the mail. A lot of people are taking advantage of that early voting and the opportunity to fill their ballots out at home and mail those in. So that seems to be the way of the future, that that people prefer avoiding the rush, so to speak, on election day and doing their duty in a different way. So the numbers continue to grow in a large way. You can do that early voting out of Benjamin through Friday, May 16th, and then after that, everything is pushed out till the primary on the 20th. So it's 400 North Benjamin Lane in Boise. If you haven't been there, it's a great setup. You can get in and out fairly quickly. It works very well. Another thing that they're doing this year for the first time is Saturday voting, which has worked very well. So this coming Saturday, May 10th, from 10 to 4, if it's convenient for you, you know, you can go out to Benjamin and place your votes.
Right.
You have to have your ID, obviously, where you can get a ballot. The closed primary, meaning that you have to declare a particular party affiliation. This is the second time that that's happened. 2012 was the first election cycle for the closed primary. This is the second. So that's been confusing for folks in that they have to pick a ballot and declare a party affiliation, and then once they receive that ballot, they're stuck with that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what if you've moved within the county? How does that work? Can you just go to the new place and register?
Well, we've got a great website, for one thing. So I'd go to, what is it, Ada County Elections or the Ada County website and go to the elections area, and it can help you with getting an absentee ballot. Gives you all the detail, how to register, where to register. There's a huge map there that you can go on and determine, you know, what your new precinct might be, the location, and a lot of the detail there. So the website is golden in my mind. It has a lot of great information.
Right, and again, there's, you know, I don't know if you've caught the story. Did you hear about former Governor Andrus and the saying he's having a heart attack in the early voting system or whatever?
Yeah, we heard that. Chris Rich reported that to us yesterday.
Did they haul him out?
I don't think it was that, but it was very unfortunate that someone of his stature and his background, that, you know, that particular employee didn't recognize who he was or that he was a Democrat, so... It got cleared up, and he got the correct ballot, and we've had a lot of fun with it, and I'm sure we will over the next couple of days, and a good learning experience for all of staff, I would say.
It is. Let's get back to the voting, because this is a very important election for a lot of folks that are running on the lower ticket. How confident are you in the integrity of the process in Ada County?
Oh, very much so. You know, it's very transparent and open when you go out to the facility at Benjamin. It's fairly new for us, and it has a glassed-in area, and you can watch all the vote counting. There's an area for the media that they can monitor it and get the latest results. So I'm very comfortable with the process, and I've watched it from you know, the votes being taken from the precincts downtown or to Benjamin to be counted, and I think it's very safe.
And a lot has been written about the closed primary for the Republicans and the Democrats at 580 KIDO, I guess, for the Republicans. So you have to – do you have to claim a political party to vote?
Yes. To get a ballot, you have
right.
to declare.
Okay.
You can either be a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Constitutionalist – And when you get that ballot, you know, some of the ballots will only have, if there's nobody running in those spots, you'll only be voting for judges. So you have to be careful which ballot you select
right
in the primary.
All right. Well, we've covered the voting. What else is going on in the county?
Well, I don't know if you're aware, the green belt that we maintain, you know, through along the river up to the dam, is we've had some issues with some repairs, and one of the ditch companies was doing some repair work and caused some damage on the green belt, and it had to be closed near Penitentiary Canal in the Shakespeare Way area, and it caused a lot of consternation with folks because as the weather's getting better, they want to get out and ride and run and walk, and we've had to shut it down. So we've taken a number of calls related to that, and we hope to have that back open by the end of the week, hopefully.
Yeah, you don't like it when the green belt's closed. You're going to hear from everybody.
Right. So that's a good thing.
What are other big issues? I see we have the RV registration here, but, you know, how's the budget going?
The budget is huge. You know, it takes more of our time every year. We start earlier, and it gets more painful, particularly since, you know, the economy's gotten slower. So it's all about, you know, managing government, doing more with less, in my mind. You know, we have less money to do the same thing, and we're working through it.
580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you have a question about the county, why can't you just be like the federal government, just print your own money?
Well, that would be a nice option, but local government doesn't have that privilege. We present a balanced budget every year.
Well, you know, when we talk about the budget, though, how do you folks treat the budget, and what is involved in the process? Do you go line by line? The last time we talked about you being a local business person, certainly small businesses, not only in Ada County, Canyon County, but those listening at 580KIDO or 580KIDO.com, understand the meaning of making a budget, of making payroll, of putting things away, of paying taxes. Does that translate to your work in the county, that same diligence?
Yeah, I would say very much so. I think it's been very helpful to me in, you know, having done a budget personally and through my business, I can carry that over to the government sector. And again, then the fact that you only have so much money and you need to work within that budget. So we work very carefully in making requests. Now, this budget is, you know, we've told everybody to hold the line. There will not be any increases over the last year. So, you know, we're holding the budget to that. The problem is a lot of our infrastructure is dated, our capital projects, buildings, that sort of thing. We've put off the last few years, and you know, that's not always good. So we need to step up and figure out a phasing program as to how we're going to deal with that infrastructure.
Well, speaking of infrastructure, and, you know, it's funny, whenever I have you guys in, I forget to talk about this until the very end. Let's talk about the jail. There's been a lot about Canyon County's jail situation. How are we doing in Ada County? And it's like Sheriff Rainey likes to talk about, it's the largest mental health facility in the state. And that's a unique demand because that does fall under the county purview. That does fall under your watch when it comes to funding the jail.
Just the sheriff's part of the budget is a huge piece of the Ada County budget. He's got, you know, we have a $200 million budget approximately. I think it was 208 last year. He's a third of that. He has a third of the employees. So a third of everything we do is directed to the sheriff or around the sheriff's department, including mental health issues. So we deal with that, but when you compare Ada County jails to Canyon County, there's no comparison in my mind. It gets a lot of national recognition. He manages a great jail, the sheriff and Ron Freeman, and they go out and go across the country and teach and counsel people that have issues with their jails. So it's clean, and we funded it accordingly. 4 or 5 years ago, we spent about $8 million on a new medical facility within the jail. You know, we have a doctor there that works part-time, a dentist, 24/7 nurses, and we provide scripts to the inmates from the jail, you know, in a regulated way. So that's been a big piece. And now we just recently getting ready to open an 88-bed maximum security area for the patients that need the inmates that need a higher level of
security. Well, let's talk a little bit about that at 580KIDO. How important is that, considering it's such a significant part of the budget? And we are so blessed in the area that we live in today with local police, with county police, with the state police, their partnership with the federal government to keep out the bad guys. You know, sometimes we take that for granted that the lead news story is they're putting a new crosswalk up somewhere. which is a great problem to have unless you're a talk show host that relies on the big issues. However, you take a look at putting in 88 new beds. That just didn't magically happen. The case had to be made. The crime statistics have to be there. The safety of the officers, always very important when we're talking about a jail. Most of us, hopefully, we'll never be in the jail, so we won't have a firsthand experience. Yeah. This might be the only time that people listening at 580KIDO get information about the jail.
Right. And I think an important part of that is that at Ada County, we've always saved up before we've added new any infrastructure out there. We haven't borrowed or gone into debt of any kind to afford that. So we planned for it. You know, we knew that we needed this 88 bed situation, and we've saved for it for 3 or 4 years. Finally, to a point that you know, we probably could have used it sooner, but you know, it's paid for and it's going to open and probably be full quicker than we would like. So they're going to be moving patients around, and I keep saying patients, inmates around,
right,
at different levels.
You'll get smacked for saying patients.
So we have, to your point, plenty of patients too that we deal with the mental health issues that are related to drugs and alcohol abuse and.
Well,
all those sorts of things.
So when with Sheriff Rainey, when he comes up with the budget and such, I know they're always worried about their correctional officers and safety. How much of that is a concern for you and the other commissioners that the people that are keeping us safe, keeping the bad guys in the county jail, are in fact safe?
Well, I think it's very important to us. And, you know, we've made that a priority in funding. You know, they rate those inmates as they come in, depending on how much maintenance are going to need to keep everybody safe.
So much how much direction they're going to take, yes.
So they rate them that way, and they put them in a particular area. But the trend locally and around the country, I think, is to get people that don't need to be in jail out on the street in different types of programs, in rehab programs, and focus the jail on specifically what it should be, is keeping the bad guy there.
Right. Now, again, part of the county purview has to do with roads and such, county roads, and balancing the county roads, the city roads, and the fed roads. And I'd like to say, can you do anything about the orange barrels?
Well, I'm going to take it easy out there. At Ada County, we don't do roads. We're the only county in
the
country.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, there we go again.
There's that. You got to call ACHD for that one.
Oh, my goodness.
But I would agree.
Yes. Well, thank you. Now, what about the RVs for people that are getting ready for the RVs?
Well, it's, you know, the season is here. It's hard to believe that we're back to that point in time. But the assessor likes to remind people, don't wait till the Thursday or Friday going into Memorial Day weekend to renew your motorcycle or boat or whatever you may have that you want to take out that weekend. So this reminder is to get in early, get it registered. And you can also do that online, too, at the Ada County Assessor's webpage, or you can give them a call, too, at 577-3135. So just a reminder, get your toys regulated accordingly with the new registration information.
And anything else you'd like to share with us?
Don't think so. Glad to see the spring is here, hopefully, and the weather's warming up. We're all glad to have that happen.
I'm going to miss my hoodies.
Yeah.
Anyway, we appreciate it. We're going to get you out early on this one. How about that?
That'd be good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Izaguirre with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Don Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm Federal Agent Jack Bauer, and today is the longest day of my...
We need Jack Bauer by the printing presses to get these crazy people to stop.
Chloe, step away from the computer, now!
Sorry if I'm a little too Jack Bauer for you.
Don't you dare tell me about the law.
Don't worry, I'm sure President Obama will start focusing on the economy and just as soon as I guess he's done pretending he's Jack Bauer.
Don't waste my time! Give me an A!
And Kevin Miller in the morning. Your thoughts on the new season of 24 last night. And I got to tell you, as much as I love Jack Bauer, you could kind of see things going on. You could see the young federal agent that was on Dexter, who was on Chuck. You know, she's the female Jack Bauer. Do we really need, and I, you know, ladies, pardon me for being offensive here. Do we really need a female Jack Bauer? Why not just have the real Jack Bauer? And then you have the love interest that is jealous of Jack. And then you have the old folks that were back from the old days. You know, I'm just thinking to myself, is this really the... Did we wait 4.5 years for this? Anyway, it's great that Jack Bauer is back. I predict that that show will actually save the Fox network, never mind American Idol or anything else. And one of the great things about Jack Bauer and 24 is that they weren't politically correct. That if there were people, regardless of their religious persuasion, that had the high probability that they were attacking based on their fanatical beliefs, 24 covered them. 24 portrayed them accurately. You don't see that today where everybody else is a bad guy, and usually it's the white Christian guy who's a Tea Party person, because that's the false Hollywood narrative that people are buying. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a few things. By the way, coming up, your chance to win cash next hour on the Kevin Miller program. When you hear the cue to call, call in. If you're caller 25, you're going to win $1,000. If you'd like to win $10,000, go to our website, 580kido.com. Sign up for the big loyalty program. And today, you have a second chance to win during the Dave Ramsey experience. And speaking of winning, we will give you a chance to win some Steelhead tickets as we move along. You've been hearing a lot of political ads, haven't you? And have any of them really stood out? Have any of them really gotten your attention? And let's have a little fun here. And I want you to imagine your favorite political candidate, your favorite political person, whether it's Congressman Labrador, Congressman Simpson, Senator Risch, Senator Crapo, Governor Otter, Senator Fulcher, whomever. I want you to see if when you've heard those their ads, and there have been quite a few in the Brian Smith, Mike Simpson race, have they really matched the creativity of this ad?
She's not your typical candidate. Conservative Joni Ernst. Mom, farm girl, and a lieutenant colonel who carries more than just lipstick in her purse. Joni Ernst will take aim at wasteful spending. And once she sets her sights on Obamacare, Joni's gonna unload. Oh, and one more thing. Joni doesn't miss much.
Give me a shot. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message.
Joni Ernst is running for the Senate.
She's not your...
But now, think about that ad. I'm sorry for the hum. The hum is back, everybody. You're going, Kevin, it's AM radio. There's always a hum. No. Not if you're on your phone or anywhere else. There's no hum, but there's a hum in my ears when we go to this. So once again, I apologize for the disturbing hum, and I appreciate you overcoming the hum to listen to us here at 580KIDO. Just take a listen to this, though. Could you imagine Governor Otter riding a motorcycle, or Congressman Labrador or Simpson or Senator Risch being in this ad? I could just hear it now.
She's not your typical candidate. Conservative Joni Ernst. Mom, farm girl, and a lieutenant colonel who carries more than just lipstick in her purse. Joni Ernst will take aim at wasteful spending. And once she sets her sights on Obamacare, Joni's gonna unload. Oh, and one more thing. Joni doesn't miss much.
Give me a shot. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message.
Gotta tell you, Joni Ernst has got my vote, and that's the difference, I suppose, between some states' political ads and others. But here you have a female. Is everybody turning into a woman these days? Yeah, not that we have anything against women. But, I mean, shouldn't a guy be doing that? Can't a guy do that? Well, maybe if a guy did that, it would be too offensive. But, I mean, I love this. I love this ad by this young lady, this lieutenant colonel, yes ma'am, no ma'am, in Iowa, that she's, you know, embracing the Second Amendment. And, you know, the press, they always try to make sure that, oh, they're gun toters. Well, America was founded by gun toters, right? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with having somebody going, they're going to shoot up Obamacare? And quite frankly, let's just do a bell-ringing critique. Have any of these political ads garnered your attention? Like that woman's right there? Have any of them really garnered your attention? Where she's talking about riding a motorcycle. She's talking about shooting up Obamacare, standing up for you. What do we get? Anyway, More coming up next. Kevin Miller coming up next. We'll talk about the affordable mortgage and whether or not that's a thing of the past at 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO. Bud Weinstein joins us now to talk a little bit more about the future of home mortgages at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. And when we're talking about Dr. Weinstein, he's the Associate Director of the McGuire Energy Institute and Adjunct Professor of Business Economics in the Cox School of Business at SMU in Dallas. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Oh, glad to be with you, Kevin.
Dr. Weinstein, when we take a look at the future of home mortgages, we've been talking about this bill being proposed by Senator Crapo, Senator Corker, and others. They take a look at that and they say to themselves, look, Freddie and Fannie, they've done their time. It's time to move on. Other folks say, what about the investors? From your point of view as an economist, where are we and how does this impact folks in Idaho?
That's if we had 3 or 4 hours, maybe we could discuss that in depth. Well, here's the deal. As you and your listeners probably know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, government-sponsored enterprises, buy mortgages, package them, sell them into the bond market. They got in trouble in 2008 during the housing bubble. And the main reason they got in trouble was because of the political pressure that was put on them to make loans that were not adequately collateralized, where borrowers didn't provide adequate documentation. In other words, they did a lot of stupid buying and packaging of loans, but those loans were pushed at them from a variety of sources. And in hindsight, I think you got to blame the politicians who were putting pressure on Fannie and Freddie as much as the regulators themselves. Well, long story short, they wound up with so much junk in their portfolio that they couldn't make the payments on the bonds, so Uncle Sam had to bail them out to the tune of about, as I recall, it was about $750 billion. So that was in 2008. The GSEs were essentially nationalized. Now, in the interim, they have continued to operate. And, in fact, today, Fannie and Freddie are profitable. Last year, Fannie and Freddie returned more than $1 billion of net profits to the Treasury. And Fannie and Freddie have more than repaid, you know, all the money that was loaned to them in 2008. But there has been legislation for a couple of years, you know, bouncing around the Capitol Hill, that would either do away with Fannie and Freddie or reform Fannie and Freddie or establish something like a mortgage guarantee corporation similar to FDIC that guarantees bank deposits. So the latest iteration of that process is what's called the Johnson-Crapo bill that the Senate Banking Committee has been discussing for the last couple of months. There are a lot of provisions of that bill, and we don't have time to get into it, but essentially it would do away with Fannie and Freddie and set up something like you know, the FDIC guarantee program for mortgages. It's the bill does not appear to be getting a lot of traction. They were supposed to vote it out of committee last week, but it appeared that they didn't have enough votes. So right now they're trying to round up additional votes so that if the bill is reported out of committee, it will go to the floor and stand a pretty good chance of passing. I don't think that's going to happen, and even if it did, it's not clear that it would get through the House. It's not clear that the president would sign it, even if it did pass both houses. So right now, everything's up in the air. But the real question is, what does this mean for the mortgage market? And it's a little hard to predict, but I think if the Johnson-Crapo bill became law, we would see, at least for a couple of years, a lot of disruption in the mortgage market because, gosh, right now Fannie and Freddie hold close to $5 trillion worth of mortgages, and I wonder if the private sector can quickly step up to the plate, so to speak, and assume all of that debt. And then the most serious concern I have is what happens to the private investors. I mean, Uncle Sam's going to do fine. Uncle Sam owns most of the preferred shares. But there's about $36 billion worth of common and preferred stock out there, and a lot of that is held, about half of it, by banks, including a number of community banks in Idaho. So if that equity is wiped out, that's tantamount to an uncompensated government taking. It violates the rule of law, and that's what I'm most concerned about. What's more, for a lot of banks, particularly small banks, That Fannie and Freddie preferred stock constitutes what's called Tier 1 capital, and that's the basis for the amount of lending that a bank can do. So there are a host of issues related to this Fannie and Freddie reform, and I've tried to summarize it in 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm happy to, continue the discussion and let you ask the question.
Oh, it's always better to ask than answer, sir.
Yeah.
So at 580KIDO, what would this mean if Fannie and Freddie cease to exist? We take a look at what happened to the shareholders. What would it mean to people like Kevin Miller or others that, get their loans? Would it be anything goes, or would it be better for the consumer or worse?
From the consumer perspective, at least for some period of time, it would probably be worse. I don't think there's any question that you'd be paying a higher interest rate for a mortgage because you wouldn't have this repackaging and reselling process. And also because if you did put Fannie and Freddie out of business, say, today, that would take a lot of liquidity out of the market. See, most people don't really understand how mortgage financing works. You go to a bank and you apply, say, for a $100,000 mortgage. And, of course, it's a lot harder to get a mortgage these days because of, all the new banking regulations. But let's say you're lucky enough to get a mortgage. There's a 70% probability that the day after giving you that mortgage, the bank is going to sell that mortgage to Fannie and Freddie. And the reason they do that is that by selling it to Fannie and Freddie, they get additional liquidity that bank can use to make another mortgage loan. You follow me? So that was the main idea behind Fannie and Freddie. I think Fannie goes back to the 1930s and Freddie goes back to the 1950s. The idea was to provide liquidity to the housing market. And the housing market in the United States is bigger than it is in any other country. And that's also a difference. Some people say, oh, well, if we get rid of Fannie and Freddie, things will sort itself out. Maybe more people will rent than buy, and that might be a good thing. But the fact is that it's almost part of our culture, this notion of home ownership. And at least before the financial crisis, about 68% of American households actually owned their homes. It's now down to about 62%.
Well, and again, remember Time Magazine, is the American dream dead when people are renting? And a lot of people are buying these homes as investments as opposed to homes, and they're renting them. But I go back to, you're right. I did get a house recently, and, within a week or two, they sold it. People are moving their money all the time. Mm-hmm. So without that freedom, what does that mean? We've had Senator Crapo on, sir, and he said, well, all this would do, the only people that, would lose money would be the giant hedge funds, and we're not talking about average, ordinary Americans. It would be the big money folks that would lose money if this bill becomes law.
Well, I'm not concerned about the hedge funds. I'm concerned about the banking system, and particularly the community banks who hold Fannie and Freddie stock as capital. And I'm also concerned about individual investors. I mean, I know lots of people, fortunately not myself, who were encouraged by their brokers or investment advisors to purchase Fannie and Freddie common and preferred stock. So, yeah, it's easy to point to the hedge funds, but that's only about half of the outstanding shares. And, the other half is held by pension funds, insurance companies, banks, and individuals. And those are the people that I'm concerned about.
How concerned are you about the economy since we have you on?
The economy is slowly coming back to life, and that's another reason I think a precipitous demise of Fannie and Freddie could be disruptive because, we had pretty good job numbers last month, although the first quarter gross domestic product numbers that came out last week, you may have noticed it, the economy grew at a rate of 0.1%, which is pathetic, but I think that was due mainly to bad weather. A lot of people just couldn't go out and spend money. A lot of factories were shut down. But the economy has been growing, albeit slowly, for the last 4 years. The housing market, however, has not returned to its former health. In fact, for the last 3 or 4 months, both new and existing home sales have declined. Now, again, some of that may be weather-related, but I think it's also reflecting the fact that it's harder to get a mortgage and interest rates have been rising. So, the economy is doing better. I think the consensus is that we'll maybe see a 2.5% growth rate this year. That's not great, but it's better than last year. And, of course, it's not like the 4% growth that we used to have. But as I said earlier, you know, housing is such a big chunk of the economy, and if we start messing around with Fannie and Freddie, we're kind of putting the reins on maybe 20% of all economic activity that is related either directly or indirectly to home construction and buying.
I got to ask you one more question. When we're talking about the economy, the market's blowing up, mm-hmm. yet there are less people in the market today than ever before. And here's the other issue. I mean, what would happen if the Fed stopped printing the funny money? Would the market go down?
Boy, I wish I knew. Never ask an economist to predict the market, and certainly don't ask me for investment advice. But here's the deal. Yeah, the market averages have been brushing with all-time highs. But I think that's occurring because there is just so much cash out there. That's why we see record the number of mergers and acquisitions announced so far this year. And I mean, that's kind of good news, bad news. When you have a lot of cash, when you have a lot of merger activity, that's good for the stock market, but that's not necessarily good for the economy. When you read that, you know, Google or an Apple is spending $10 or $20 billion buying back its stock, well, that's good for shareholders, but that doesn't create jobs. So I guess what I'm saying is, I'd much rather see a lot of this money that's being used to reshuffle assets actually go into new investments and new job-creating investments, and that's just not happening, at least not at the pace that it should be when you're into the fourth year of an economic recovery.
Dr. Weinstein, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Oh, it's always good to talk to you. Feel free to call anytime.
We'd love to have you back. Okay, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it, news on the economic front, and we'll continue to monitor this Freddie and Fannie story, and he's right. I mean, if you're thinking about getting a house right now, you have to jump through so many hurdles, even more than you had to do 2 or 3 years ago. 7:50, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Getting back to this ad, I'd love to see an Idaho politician actually have this ad. Let's take a listen.
He's not your typical candidate. Conservative Joni Ernst, mom, farm girl, and a lieutenant colonel who carries more than just lipstick in her purse. Joni Ernst will take aim at wasteful spending. And once she sets her sights on Obamacare, Joni's gonna unload. Oh, and one more thing. Joni doesn't miss much.
Give me a shot. I'm Joni Ernst, and I approve this message.
We go to Terry from State College, Pennsylvania at 580 KIDO. Hello, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. You know, that young lady, Jody, sounds like she has more courage than some of the men that I know. I would vote for her.
Well, that's the way it's going these days.
Well, I know. Well, so, you know, topsy-turvy.
From what I understand, you were at this big meeting last night.
Well, that was interesting. That was very interesting.
Yeah, the big Republican meeting that people wanted to plug on this show. And to prove my point, Terry, I had you there as my spy, did I not?
Well, you asked me to do a head count for you. I did that.
Well, no, I asked you also that all these folks that always want us to promote their causes, I asked them to do the same for the however many people showed up. So how many people showed up at this thing last night?
About 65.
Okay, so 65 people. So the same individuals that criticized me for not giving them free ads, did they mention, hey, please support our good friend Kevin Miller last night?
Well, I'm sorry. I did not hear Kevin Miller or KIDO mentioned.
Right. That goes to show you my point exactly, that they're a bunch of takers, whether we agree with people or not politically. And so here they want to come on the program. They don't want to buy advertising. And they sit there, and when they have an opportunity in front of 65 people, do they give back? I wish I were surprised by the actions of that group, but considering their activity the past few years, I'm not.
Well, you know, it's a difficult place for you to be. You know, I think one of the primary reasons that I listen to KIDO and Kevin Miller is, you know, you bring in such a menagerie of information, you know, and so much of it is local, what's really happening on that local and Idaho basis. And, you know, there's a lot of people that represent, you know, many of the other citizens and their groups and that. And you certainly have given them a lot of showtime. You know, I agree with that. And that's just one of the things I admire about you.
Well, apparently they don't like to give back. They're takers. Terry, hang on, Terry. Let's get to traffic at 5 8. And speaking of which, what are you doing tonight, Terry? Quickly, your event.
Minuteman Emergency Response Community. We're going to be looking at personal security, group security. We're going to be talking about some mammoth food.
I know, Terry. You got 10 seconds. Where's it going to be and when?
Uber Terminal, Caldwell Airport, 7 p.m. Look forward to everybody being there.
All right, Terry. Thank you very much. And thank you for always participating and contributing. We appreciate it.
You have a good day. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. 580K.